Hello, and welcome to Holden Village. Today's date is February 8th, 2003. Today's session is Women's Retreat Session Number 3, I Believe in the Holy Spirit, Hunkering Down in a Nest That Fits Us, presented by Peg Schultz Ackerson, number SCP-2003-03. Let's listen in.
Oh, yeah. That singing part especially. Oh, singing.
Just a quick Pelican story. I lived on the Oregon coast in a little town called Gold Beach for 7.5 years, and I walked out my front door and across the highway, and I was on the beach, and it's a very isolated beach. And so we watched lots of different creatures going by. One of the birds that we watched for with great expectancy was the pelicans. And they would come, I think it was early spring. And they would come in just, I don't know if you call them pelican flocks. I don't know what the right word is. But they would just come in, just hundreds of pelicans. Mm-hmm. And I'd always thought about pelicans as being kind of clumsy, clumsy oafs. These were beautiful, graceful birds. And when they saw a fish in the, in the water, they just, whoop, and opened their bills and swooped it up and got up, and then they were often, swimming on top of the water as well. So I have, the pelicans to me are very beautiful.
Well, I was preparing an article that I was asked to write for the Holden, on retreat. It's going to be, and the Good Courage, or I guess it's in the next issue, on why go on retreats. And so anyway, I go jogging down at the beach along in Santa Monica, and when I have a day off, I can take a longer jog, and it really helped me with this image. The pelicans became important to me in why go on retreat. And anyway, I get out at the end of the Venice Pier, and there's often pelicans, and they sit on the roof of this little, of the bathroom that's at the end of the pier. There's always pelicans up there, but they're out flying around. And I was watching them, and what they do is they, with their big wings, they're big birds, so they, what they do, if you watch them enough, is they flap, 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 and then they soar. And then they'll flap, 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 and then a long soar. And what I got thinking as I was watching them is, that I can flap. You ever do that? And so why go on retreat is so we can soar. So we learned that from the pelican. Flamingos and others. Aren't the flamingos a great color? They are. Okay. All right. So in terms of self-image and self-understanding is even as we become wanting to establish or come into our own voice, into our own song as birds that want to contribute to the abundant life and grace of God. Part of the journey of establishing and being in touch with our own voice is getting to know ourselves, to understand ourselves. Self-understanding is a significant part of any kind of spiritual growth. People that work with spiritual direction and other things, self-understanding is really significant, so that we're coming out of an understanding of ourselves rather than a lack of that. And wanted to just begin with two quotes about that before we get into this work that you're going to have to do. To do this typology related to identifying and discovering your own spirituality type, you have to go through a
quiz.
little work that we're going to do, but we'll do it together, so it won't be too painful. But let me share these two. This is by Mechthilde Magdeburg. Some of you might have read a little of her. She's one of the Rhineland mystics from hundreds of years ago. Fish cannot drown in water. Birds cannot sink in air. Gold cannot perish in the refiner's fire. This has God given to all creatures to foster and seek their own nature. How then can I withstand mine? So as birds that we are this weekend that cannot sink in the air, we can't withstand our own God-given nature. And for us to explore and come to know ourselves and delight in who God has made us to be so that we can be all that God calls us to be.
Copy little strips of that first ahead.
We can, yeah. Janet nodded yes.
I apologize. I typed on a few or several ones.
Okay. Delegation is a great thing to do. Thank you. Okay, then one other quote that I received from my dear friend Jan Bowman. I know some of you know Jan Bowman. It's by a Jan van Roosborg, something, it's some Dutch name that I can't say. But anyway, has this quote: self-knowledge teaches us whence we come, where we are, and whither we go. We come from God and are in exile. And because the force of our love seeks after God, we are conscious of this exile. The force of our love seeks after God. And I think in many ways that could be what even draws us to come to a weekend like this, that we are seeking that sense of real home, that we don't want to be exiled from our true realness of God that is a hovering love that gathers us in. But so the force of our love seeks after God who is giving us that love. It's God who pursues us, and we respond to that. But it's self-knowledge that teaches us that, too. So we're going to enter into a little adventure here. Now, we need to do this together. Now, Nada, since you've done this, maybe you can help with this, too. And if you've done it before, you can always learn more about yourself as you do it. But what you need to do is a little tricky. So, and in every time I've done this, there's someone who can't figure it out. And it's, you know, sometimes it's the engineer or the... So it has nothing to do with your intelligence. Yes. Right. So I'm going to tell you about it before you get it, just so you can all pay attention to me. There's four sections, A, B, and C. In section A, there's a right column.
Four sections.
Hello.
I'm her council president, so I keep her on track.
D is on the other side. There's a left and a right column. Two columns. Yes. What you have to do is make a choice between either the right column or the left column, and you have to choose. It's a forced choice. You're not going to like having to choose because you're going to say
choose both.
You can't choose both, and you can't choose neither. So that's what's a little challenge, because you're going to say, yes, I like both of those. Well, fine, but choose one. Which one most kind of clearly reflects you, and just go with one of them if you can't decide. It'll be all right. And so you do that for each of the four sections. There's two, either the left or the right column, and just circle it. And then when you're done, it explains what to do in terms of the scoring guide. And You can try to do it on your own, but we're going to do it all together just to make sure we've all scored it right. So if some of you will do this quicker than others, we'll wait till the last person's done. So if you're done, just kind of be quiet till everybody's done. If you want to start working on scoring, that's fine, but we're going to go through it together, too. So you don't have to score it on your own.
So, are there extra pencils?
Yes, there's lots of pencils here that Janet brought down for us.
Are we out? Is that, does anybody have any extras?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I can go up.
Who doesn't have one?
So go ahead and just work on that. Selecting either the right column or the left column.
Yeah, there are plenty. Who doesn't have one?
Are you understanding that it's either the right column or the left column?
The whole column.
It's not the individual.
No, the first one you choose. Like the first one, you think it's either I prefer to think of God as revealed and knowable, or I prefer to think of God as hidden and mystery.
Pick one.
You have to pick one of those.
Pick one of those.
One of those. Not then the next one.
If you have to pick
one of those. So just the ones right next to each other. You have to choose between one or the other.
Oh, not the whole column.
No. So in A, you have to have five circles. Either in the right column or in the left column. Any other questions? Does everybody understand? It's okay to have questions, really.
In other words, you can do a split ballot. As long as there's only one answer for line one.
That's right.
I like that. Thank you.
Are you all working on the scoring?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go over it together while you're doing that. So everybody's done doing the test?
No.
No, not everybody yet. Oh, okay. And don't get too much into your head about it.
I know that's what.
Yeah. You can't decide. Go with your first punch. What is most you? I mean, they're both you, but which one is a little more you?
I don't know if one of them is a wannabe.
I admire the opposite of what I really know I am.
Right, no. This is self-awareness. So this is
I want to be the other one.
Very gentle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is trying to be honest with who you are. And it's not bad.
So good procedure.
In the right column of B, and then you add those two together and you put that total on that little line there.
So you take the left column of A and add it to the right column of B, and you come up with a number. Does everybody have a number in that mind? Okay, then you count what's in the right column of A and add it what's in the left column of B and put it in that line. And then those two numbers have to add up to 11. Did everybody add up to 11? Anybody who didn't get 11? Now come on, most groups, there's somebody who didn't get 11. Y'all got 11? Okay. All right. Now on the next one, then so then you circle either there. If your number was 6 or 7, you circle the K minus. So you go through and circle so that you're at some kind of a K or, you know, so if any of these work for you, you should have either a K or an A. You can't have both. Got it? And help each other if you're having trouble. Okay, ready to move on? All right, the next count, remember the sentence that you circled in the left column of C and add it to the right column of D, and you write the number there. And then the right column of C and add it to the left column of D, and you write that number, and that also has to add up to 11. Did everybody get that? Everybody got 11 again? Come on, somebody needs to
hide. I need a minute.
Oh, I just want to Sager uses it.
What's the name of the book?
Gospel-Centered Spirituality.
Oh, that's the one that you have on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. It's where I took it out of. But
yeah.
It's not written by Sager. It's written, the typology is Urban Holmes. But he has a little story in here that I find helpful, and it happens to be about
the birds.
Coincidentally. Yeah. A man found an eagle's egg, and put it in the nest of a barnyard hen. The eaglet hatched with the brood of chicks and grew up with them. All his life, the eagle did what the barnyard chickens did, thinking he was a barnyard chicken. He scratched the earth for worms and insects. He clucked and cackled. He thrashed his wings and flew a few feet in the air. Years passed, and the eagle grew old. One day, he saw a magnificent bird far above him in the cloudless sky. It glided in a graceful majesty among the powerful wind currents, with scarcely a beat of its strong golden wings. That old eagle looked up in awe. "Who's that?" he asked. "That's the eagle, the king of the birds," said one of the barnyard chickens. "He belongs to the sky. We belong to the earth. We're chickens." So the eagle lived and died a chicken, for that's what he thought he was. But Sager uses that story to point out that we are spiritual beings. That's what we are. And if we don't know that, or we don't pay any attention to that, or we don't learn to discover that, then we can go on and think all there is to life is, you know, the cost of the car we want to buy next year, or the house that we're trying to get, or the food or the clothes, or that we can live on a domain thinking that that's all it is how to make sure we have enough oil, and so if we have to go, you know, do something to make sure we get enough oil. But the only dimension to life there is this certain dimension. We'll live here as if that's what we are, just of that. But we are spiritual beings with the capacity of being in a relationship with God and with each other in deep and penetrating ways. And for us to know that and discover that and teach each other that and open each other to grow into that is a significant thing. And the point of this particular typology is that there are varieties of spirituality types. If we each were to put our thumbs into ink and make thumbprints, there would be all different thumbprints. We aren't the same. The same with our spirituality types. My thumbprint isn't the same as yours, and that doesn't mean mine's bad, because it's not like yours. And because our spirituality types are different from each other doesn't mean that one's better than the other. They're just different. And part of the beauty of that is in the variety. And there's beauty to that variety. And what part of the value of doing this is to discover that other people are different, and that in any community they're going to be different needs and different tendencies, and so different things are needed to meet those different needs. So it's important for us, not only in terms of understanding ourselves, but also each other. So what this next chart does is it, and I'm going to give you one, but before you get it so you get too confused about it, I'm going to explain it a little. But it's got a rectangle that's got four corners, and each of the, it's a, like a quadrant, so this would be considered four different quadrants, and the types fall into one or the other quadrants, and so you're going to be in one or the other quadrants. And what the understanding of this is, as you said, that you're attracted to the opposite. One of you were saying that? Was that you?
Yeah, but
that's how you grow, that you're balanced by the quadrant diagonally from you. And so the way this works is that if you go too far into your specific way, you can go into excess. And so if you're going to go into excess, you need to balance yourself out with your diagonal, pull yourself more into the middle. And same here, so they balance each other. Or you can, and there's also a need to go this way a bit. But it's, anyway, so I'm going to give it to you so you can look at it, and then we're going to walk through it, and then find where you are. So every time I've used this, people don't like some of the ways he characterizes these. So that's why I wanted to speak about it before you get it, so that you don't... because some of these won't be phrases that you like. But if I were to do my own, I wouldn't use the same words that he uses. So maybe someday I'll make up my own so that it can have the words that people seem to relate to better. But I haven't done that yet. Is there more coming down over there?
Here's some more.
We need some more. Okay, so if when you get it, does everybody have one? Everybody have one now? Okay, so let's look at, start at the top, you see it says mind, or to know God, it's a knowledge part. Down at the bottom is heart, and the sensing of God. To the one side is cataphatic, and to the other is the apophatic. The cataphatic is the revealed, touchable, seeable. The apophatic is the mystery, unknowing, that part. And so you'll see where the AM is up in the upper left hand or right hand. I guess it's the left hand. The KM, the AH, and the KH. And if there's a positive or a negative, it's still in that quadrant. So you see where you are? Now, we'll just look at it a little bit. And for the most part, people usually feel like it's right. Occasionally, there's someone who'll say, no, that's not where I think I should be or where I am. Even my husband, when he did this, it was like, well, I didn't know I would be in that quadrant. He was surprised by it. But so how are you feeling basically? How many of you feel like, just basically, without going into the detail of it, that you would think that the letters that came up for you, basically, you would sense are right for you?
Basically.
Okay, how many feel like it's really, if you came out somewhere you totally would not have expected yourself to come?
Well, unless the monastic life includes a spa.
I would probably wonder about you and that one too. Although your spa is wonderful. So let's talk about it.
Where does the minus or the plus come in?
Okay, yes. That
like if you're K minus.
Yeah, it's
K and.
Right, it's a little confusing to quite understand it. Basically, it's just to tell you to be paying attention as to whether you're going into. To excess or into the center.
So if you have a minus, you're going out. And if you have a plus, you're moving toward the center?
No, I think it's the other way.
Oh, really?
Mentioned to you to be alert to the possibility that you might want to be thinking, maybe perhaps you might want to think about balancing, you know, or that to be open to the opposite.
And that you're opening your mind.
That
you're a minus, you're in danger of going too far excess off of
that. That if you're a minus, that you're toward the center. You're moving toward the
center.
I think the way it is the minus is that you're moving you're moving towards the one next to you. The plus is moving up or down. The minus goes horizontal, the positive goes vertical.
No, there's positive and horizontal also.
Well, I think the essence of what they're saying is that the positive or the negative isn't a big thing to worry about. So don't fret over it. It's just to stay alert to the possibility that you might not just be fully that. You might be a little bit to the side or a little bit to the center of your group, to the side, one way or the other. Yes.
Well, I think also it always shocks me because I feel like I'm in an extreme when I do this. But I did this many, many, many years ago in the shortcut, and I thought, oh, I need to open myself to be more personally renewed. My spiritual life was just all mine. And I opened it up, and I am more open. It's like an introvert being willing to be in a room with extroverts in how we balance ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably always be an AH because that's me. Mm-hmm. But I also have adopted many, many things in these other areas.
Absolutely.
I was telling Mary, I fucked speech in college. You know, now one of the things I'm supposed to be doing is talking. And it works because God has allowed me these movements.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm dependent on Him for that.
That's right. And it's a nesting place. It's where you find your basic home, and from there, where you can go out.
Lately, I received a criticism that I was too into myself. I said, no, I'm not into myself at all, but I do spend a lot of time in quiet by myself and in prayer for things that are going on around me. And I see things happen, you know, and I share what those prayers are so other people can have them too. That is my closeness to God, as opposed to the renewed person is able to be more open and willing to get into these.
Well, like even introvert, extrovert, like in the Myers-Briggs kind of stuff, an introvert doesn't mean that they're just a quiet, withdrawn person. It means they make sense out of the world by quiet process. Whereas an extrovert makes sense out of the world by extrovert process. So it's just what how you make sense out of the world. It's not that you're, you know, withdrawn, quiet, whatever person. But because what you make sense out of it, then you can be engaged in the world too. An introvert can be. But you make sense out of it. You need processing time in a different kind of way. But this is, so we're going to look at these and how what they're about. I'd like to start with the, why don't we start up in the right upper right-hand corner with the theological renewal, the reasons for belief, the right thinking, the prayer leading to insight as compared to the prayer leading to union as in the downward diagonal. Now you'll see the word excess there. If you go too much into the mind, and the knowing, it combines the M and the K. So it combines the cataphatic and the mind, the touchable, tangible with the rational. And if you go too much into that, you go into rationalization or rationalism. If you go way up there, and you need to balance yourself down with the inner life. Now, so the theological renewal. Now, it's not a bad thing. We need people in that quadrant. Who are some of the people that you would think historically are in that quadrant? People that we would know from history?
Martin Luther.
Martin Luther was a seminary professor. He was a professor at Wittenberg University, and he had a doctorate in teaching Bible and you know all this stuff. And so the Lutheran Church tends to be dominated in terms of seminary instruction and all in this theological kind of thinking mind. And it's one of the gifts that gives ecumenically to the whole theological enterprise. Yes?
Can you define what is rationalism?
And all in your head, that it's all up here, you know, all the facts
and everything out.
Okay, so you can explain that. It's a rational process that you can prove.
Right, like the, you know, whole concept of the Trinity is, you know, you can read books about how you can get into understanding the Trinity from a rational point of view.
Okay.
You can also understand it from a mystical point of view. But people who are totally into the rational point of view dismiss that as kind of irrelevant, you know. But, and the other way around, people that are into a totally mystical point of view could care less what the rational point is, you know, but the wholeness comes by us holding it together. And so that's where it pulls into the middle.
Being a Presbyterian, John Calvin is someone that I would throw out as being up there with in that quadrant.
As well.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah, and I think Timothy Lall at Pacific Lutheran Seminary is in that quadrant. And anyway, it's a... So then to go down to the KH, down below, it is still the revealed in concrete ways, but it's more heart-feeling. And this one is where people haven't liked these descriptions, born-again, holiness, feeling, kind of, you know, because we have a negative kind of concept about the born-again issues. But it's really about the heart being involved, you know, not just the head. And it would be the... there's a story he uses in here that I think is helpful in terms of understanding that one. That it's an experience. It's more experiential, that you base it on experience. Anyway, this is the dialogue between a recent convert and an unbelieving friend. And I need somebody to help me with who's a good reader, oral reader, that could just read. Somebody is. Okay. It's a little dialogue. So you read every other line. Okay. So you're the unbeliever.
Okay. So you've been converted to Christ.
Yeah.
Then you must know a great deal about him. Tell me what country he was born in.
I don't know.
Well, what was his age when he died?
I don't know.
You certainly know very little for a man for a woman who claims to be converted to Christ.
You're right. I'm ashamed of how little I know about him. But this much I do know. 3 years ago, I was a drunkard, and I was in debt, and my family was falling to pieces, and my husband and children would dread my return home every evening. And now I've given up drink and I'm out of debt. Ours is now a happy home. All this Christ has done for me. This much I know of him.
Well, I'm an AA chair.
Oh, you are. Okay, I'm not an AA. That it's not based on what you know, it's not all the facts and all that, but it's your experience. That is important to you. But the excess there is to go into pietism, you know, where you can just get so into your feelings that you don't pay any attention to any of the other, you know, and so it way. So if we go over to the AA, where...
No, wait, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. I know, but I've heard the word pious. I'm not sure exactly. What exactly is pietism?
Yeah, these aren't always the best words that they use here. You know, at Michael Ani at the seminary would not like the use of the word. He would not like to use the word spirituality at all. He would use the word piety for that. But I think what they're meaning here is to go into excess sense of focus all on your feelings. Mm-hmm. And
who's an example of that?
George Bush.
Only I didn't have.
I do think George Bush would fit in this quadrant.
Yeah. Give another example. Some positive.
That's for.
Yeah.
Mother too.
Well, there's lots of
gospel singers.
Yeah. I think the. Even the African-American tradition spiritually, I mean, in terms of their worship life, fits more into this.
Yeah.
More feeling-oriented, more... it's not a negative place to be. We need people in this quadrant. It's the people who generally... When I've done this with a church group, I did it up in Lafayette. We did this, and I had 150 people in a room doing this.
Wow.
All members of the same church. And I had them then get into the groups that they were, and I wanted them to then figure out how they would like worship. Based on their needs.
Whoa.
And the biggest group at that church was the AH group. Well, they wanted to start worship How do you think?
In silence.
No, not the AH, the KH. No, the KH wants to be in silence. But the feeling ones want to start with gathering music. And you know, or the passing of the peace, or somehow where they're socially connected with each other and they're singing. They want to sing. They want to feel good at the beginning. As compared to the AH, who likes the worship service like last night, that the around the cross is a service that most of all grows out of the AH need for the silence and the reflection and the quiet. So anyway, it was very interesting. What I asked them, had them do then in their four groups is, okay, now when you figure out how you want the worship service to start, and then you tell it to the group, but then you need to hear how they want it to start, and how they want it to start, and how they want it to start. So why we need to be sensitive to the need for variety in worship. Because it may not meet my needs to have, you know, lively this at the very beginning of the worship service. Okay. But it's not meeting someone else's needs to always do it another way. And so for us to understand that, if, you know, someone doesn't like Taizé worship at all, it doesn't mean they're not spiritual. It's just that it's a different kind of way that works for them. Or they can learn to appreciate the variety, that there's a part of them that can grow with all of it. But someone else had a question over here.
Oh, I just had a comment. Our little church in Leavenworth is right next door to the Pentecostal church. And so there's, I think there's service right after ours, isn't it?
Well, we're going out to coffee. They're in full swing.
Yeah. Just blasting, and they've got their arms up, and they go, praise God, amen. And they just play so excited. And that's what I think, maybe, are they in that?
Uh-huh.
So, it's, you know, as long as we don't hear any politics, it's so, to me, it's like, it's, well, that's sweet, it's a nice balance from what we do.
Right, and the Lutheran Church has needed to learn more of that, even in terms of welcoming the youth in, because, you know, they don't want to just sit and listen to a sermon that's all right theology.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't get some of the other, I mean, so we need the balance, we need to learn from each other. And so that we have more balance.
We also tease a lot, but that's okay.
Yeah, we do. Okay, good. So,
our church has TZ every Wednesday except for the first Wednesday, and they do hold prayer at first. I like that.
You like that?
And it took me a long time, but now I do like going for TZ. But at first I kept going, okay, and I'll try it again. I'll try it again.
It doesn't work for you at the beginning.
Yeah, but I really like it.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
But I like it more and more. Every time I go, I like it more and more. I still like holding the prayers better.
Yeah. Good. Okay, let's go over to the AH there a little bit, which is the understanding of the more inner life. And he has a story on this one, too, I think, that was understandable to me. He says this, he thinks relates to the AH quadrant. He says, I used to be stone deaf. I would see people stand up and go through all kinds of gyrations. They called it dancing. It looked absurd to me until one day I too heard the music. I fail to understand why saints, mystics, and lovers behave the way they do. And so I'm waiting for the day when I too shall hear the music to which they move. And there's something of that, I think, in the understanding of the AH. There's another story he had in here related to that, that it's called The Spirituality of the Talkative Lover. And the way the story goes is he says that a lover pressed his suit unsuccessfully, not meaning pressed his suit.
You never have to explain that to a group of men.
Right. Anyway, pressed his suit unsuccessfully for many months, suffering the atrocious pains of rejection. Finally, his sweetheart yielded and said, come to such and such a place at such and such an hour. At that time and place, the lover finally found himself seated beside his beloved. He then reached into his pocket and pulled out a packet of love letters that he had written to her over the past months. They were passionate letters expressing the pain he felt and his burning desire to experience the delights of love and union. He began to read them to his beloved. The hours passed by, but still he read on and on. Finally, the woman said, "What kind of a fool are you? These letters are all about me and your longing for me. Well, here I am, sitting with you at last, and you are lost in your stupid letters." "Here I am with you," says God, "and you keep reflecting about me in your head, talking about me with your tongue, and searching for me in your books. When will you shut up and see?" That's kind of an AH story, you know. I'm here. And then to go up to the top, the societal regeneration one, the social acts and justice piece. Who would be some people in that quadrant? You're in there, huh? Okay, well, we're going to get into our own groups. Good. But who are some history people that you know? Martin Luther King. Who? Yeah, you are too, okay. But
the name of the Indian man.
Gandhi would be in that group. Yeah,
Mother Teresa
would be in that group.
I would put Mother Teresa.
No, I think she would be more about KH. I think she did not pursue social justice.
Right.
She pursued compassion.
Yeah.
And she was very adamant about keeping it separate. In fact, that was part of the critique of her, was that she never was willing to address root causes.
Yeah, and the whole abortion issue.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, like, AH would be gliding instead of flapping your wings.
Yeah. Right, very good. Yeah. Who are some of the AH people that, you know, historically, that you would think of? Thomas Merton would be clearly, you know, this guy that was a part of the Trappist monks, one of the most cloistered of the group, you know, that wanted to do nothing more than to be out in the hermitage alone. And it was his spiritual directors who would tell him, "No, you need to write, you know, you need to do this." All he wanted to do was be silent, you know, but how blessed we are that someone balanced him. And he didn't just go into excess of quietism, and we have all these rich books from him. But it was others that had to tell him to do that.
Kathleen
Henry
Morris.
Nowen? Yes, Kathleen Moore and Henry Nowen. Yeah.
Where were Hillary? I think Henry Nowen is up here in the.
Yeah, I think Henry Nowen is a little more of the. More than Merton would be. He was more. Merton was really in the K. The anyway, where was
I was talking about Hildegard von Bingen.
Yeah,
she had several.
She was more in the. I think she has some of the social justice part of her too. Yeah, I wouldn't put her really in just the AH. I don't know. Maybe some others know more about her.
She was very close to the holiness of life.
She was an activist. But so you're getting the idea of some of the quadrants.
Would Buddha be down there?
Where?
Buddha.
Wouldn't he be in age?
Oh, we're talking about Hildegard von Bingen. Bingen, who?
Oh.
She pointed out his a little bit of everything.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. I mean, she was. But
for the time, she was a radical.
Yeah.
For the time she lived in. Yeah.
I don't know where he put the Buddha. I don't know enough about. I suppose you could put him in the
AA.
I think they. There's four quadrants, but then there's two halves. So if you're in the AH or whatever one you're in, if you're in the AH, are you also related? I know you're related to all of them, but you've got an AH and then an AM. So are the two A's connected?
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but the way you really balance yourself is more diagonally in the opposite.
Yeah, okay.
Right, so like for me, I'm an AH.
Uh-huh.
But I'm balanced by the others. So my doctoral work was a really good balance for me in terms of pulling me, because I could be like Merton, and then I could, you know. You know, and when I was in seminary, in a Lutheran seminary, you know, which when I was there were all male professors.
Uh-huh.
Right, Susan? There were no women on the faculty at all, except at the Jesuit school. So I spent my whole fourth year at the Jesuit
school. There were women in the Jesuit school?
Yeah, PhD, not ordained, but PhD, Sandra Snyders and Marianne Donovan. And Marianne Donovan became my spiritual director. But I had to go to the Catholics. for us, because this was 25 years ago, and you know the Lutherans were all up here, and were afraid of this quadrant down here, but there were some of us who needed this quadrant, so I needed to be over there, but you know I needed all of it, and
so how then are we related to the other to the other quadrants? Is it just awareness of?
And we all need each other, like in with Myers-Briggs, you know, on a good system that works together. You need people in all the categories, and like it's interesting. My husband and I aren't in the same quadrant, you know. That, and you might be. I mean, it isn't that. I mean, there are people that are in the same quadrant that have long, you know, intimate relationships together. But you don't have to be. But there's just a different a way. But what I found out, and I don't know about this now, but when I did this at Holden in summer of 2001, it was interesting because when we then divided in, and I'd like to do that if we have time. Do we have time? I think we have time to get you into your groups with each other. But before we do that, I want to ask if there's any questions. When you get into your groups, I want to have us talk about a few things together. So why don't we just do that? Is there anyone feeling really uncomfortable with where they came out? Like it doesn't fit them at all? So you're basically all right where you are? Then what I'd like to do is if we could have the room be like the paper is, so that the KMs are over here, the KH is back there, the AH is over in that corner, and the AM is over here. Give thanks for their presence. that we need them in the church, and we need their willingness to come and be with us in the church instead of only out there doing it so that they can help us be inspired to keep invested. Now, at Holden in the summer, we've come and gathered because we're at a spirituality retreat. During the summer, when there's people here and long-term staff, people that are invested in this particular unique, unusual community, which is social justice oriented, there's a larger number of this group than on the average. And because of Holden's, that Holden attracts people to come here who care about social issues. So it's usually a larger group.
Were the results the same of other denominational groups? Because I just would think about the Methodists, for instance, that there'd be more Methodists in there.
Yeah, there could be. I think there'd be more Methodists here, too. Mm-hmm.
It would, still wouldn't be, no matter what denomination, it still wouldn't be there, because they would be...
They'd still be out there. But the Methodists might also be over here. I would think that in different denominations it maybe work itself differently, except that they'd all be gone. Yeah. But and some would be heavy into this group here. So anyway, but with the little time we have for you to, and you're a little big to talk to each other, especially because you're AHs, you know.
I vote we meditate.
But talk about your experience, and it doesn't matter if you're part of the Lutheran Church or Catholic or Methodist or whatever. But your experience of being a part of the body of Christ with your, what do you need from the church for your own growth? What do you need with a sense if you're caring for young people that are in your quadrant, what would you want to see the church would have to help you want to be a part or see the need for you that the church is relevant? You know, what is it that the church will do that will help you feel that there's a reason for you to be a part of this body of Christ for you as people? But so just talk with each other about what it's like for you to be in that. And it could also be the question of what does prayer look like for you? What's a meaningful way for you to be in prayer? So share with each other a little bit.
Easier to, this is a typical AH question, but it's easier to, in this large group thing in my church, to share with the person next to us. Can we hear each other being a large
What I might suggest you do here is just go in fours.
I started
think it's important.
I had time.
Yes. So I guess that's one thing I
think
that James
is
asked for the program.
I think I
mean, it's a
I'm not so concerned about it. I'm not so concerned about it.
Which know how we came to this great church. I came to it through my mother, I'm sure.
Hey, talk louder.
I never really felt that I needed to be born again because I felt I'd never die. You know, that people would say to me, "Have you found Christ?" And I'd say, "I've never lost him," because he's always been with me, with our family, and with us. So I think that's kind of where I came there. And then
Florence?
No. Mm-hmm.
What
did I say? I don't know. I don't know how to address this, really. I didn't.
What do you hope for from the church in terms of where you are? What do you need the church to be about?
I find that my own parish is... she was saying in her parish that she wanted more for children and the youth. And I think that's where our church is really, really strong, is in the education of the young people. Mm-hmm. And having just been here for a day term and sat in with this wonderful class of students and listening to them discuss things, and I'm thinking, there is hope for our youth, you know, because they were just so wonderful. Of course, I realize not all of it that way. Mm-hmm. But where our church is lacking is for senior citizens, so there's nothing there for them.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Thank you. From your group, share something that you learned from each other being together as a group. Any tidbits and
each section of
poetry. Well, if you could, if we'll see how much time we have here. any wisdom that you have that... Yes.
We were noticing how much of a relationship there is between the AHs and the AMs that we... Several of us, so they came out here, but they feel so drawn to the justice and
the social justice.
And that there's such a link between the two.
I think just another comment, Peggy, that as we started to talk, it's probably true generally in the room that any presumption that this is a Lutheran group, you know, is like totally dispelled. And with most of us having transitioned out of one denomination into another denomination, and only a smattering of Lutheran. And so to the extent that shapes you, or that you moved to another church because you needed something, that was really what happened for one of us.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and that you still bring where you come from with you.
That's right, even as you come.
Yeah. Even as you come, right. And so historically, it's not largely, probably a predominantly Lutheran that I'm seeing. Yeah. So everybody is welcome at Holden anyway. Right? And any other?
Well, we were discussing in our group that because we see the importance of going to church, but that's not where we gain our spiritual insight.
We don't worship.
We worship.
Okay. So you need other practices.
Yes.
Yeah. Like the centering prayer group that will happen today at 4 o'clock is not a requirement in any way. It's just for those people that need to do that and want to do that together, and we'll do that next door at 4 o'clock. But if you're off skiing or, do whatever you're doing, you don't have anything you have to do all afternoon except do whatever you want to do. Dinner's at 5.